Learn how to build your faith on God's word and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the senior pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's word to work for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you worship. We give you praise. Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for being the covenant keeper. We bless your name, O God. You are the blesser. You are the lifter up of our head. You are a strong refuge. We honor you tonight. We give you worship. We give you praise. Come on, if you love the Lord, give him a big shout. Give him a big praise. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Help me look for 5 people. Tell them you are blessed of the Lord. Look for 5 people. 5 people. Give them a high five. Tell them you are blessed. Glory to God. If you have done that, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. All right. We've been talking about the blessing. I hope you are becoming more and more conscious of the blessing over your life. That's the whole essence of this teaching, to make you become conscious, because for this blessing to work, you must be conscious of it. That's how it happens. You need to know that you carry something. You are not just an ordinary person. Hallelujah. You are not what? An ordinary person. And because you are not an ordinary person, ordinary things can happen to you. Are you here, somebody? And even the things that look like a bad thing, when it happens, you need to know that it's supposed to bring out something better than what you wanted before. Is somebody get what I'm saying? That is how it works for covenant people. Even when it seems, oh, this looks like a setback, it is just a setup for a bigger blessing. Oh, somebody didn't get what I said. You need to understand, guys, that for you as a covenant person, it's impossible for things not to work out. The Bible said all things. How many things? All things work what? Together. So, even in every setback, it can birth a breakthrough. That's how it happens. So, it's a consciousness. So, you don't even look at what you're going as a defeat. See Abraham and Sarah. Their childbirth took long, but when he came, he brought the person that connected the whole world to the blessing. He brought Isaac. I get what I'm saying? That's just how it happens. So, you need to look the devil in the face and tell him that, you know, whatever it is you are cursing is going to bat something better than what I even wanted from beginning. The Bible said if the devil had known, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He thought killing Jesus was a good thing. Killing Jesus was what now gave birth to many Jesuses. Oh, you didn't get what I said. Killing Jesus gave birth to, now there are millions of little Jesuses everywhere. Hallelujah. Causing trouble for him. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's how. So the whole idea of this month's teaching is to help you become conscious. Because if you notice, Abraham became conscious of that blessing, passed to Isaac, passed to Jacob, passed to Joseph, and things began to happen. And they all faced all kinds of circumstances, but they prospered, they thrived, they were blessed. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, which is the last Sunday, we're going to deal with that vengeance part of the blessing, that protection part of the blessing. You see, you're a dangerous person. Anybody that is fighting you is fighting God. You need to advise them. And that's why you as a believer, you can't even fight another believer. You can't do harm to another believer. Some people don't understand that. That's next week. Let me not go into that. Let me just quickly round up them, move for today. So, we've established a few basic things. We said, who does God bless? God blesses every believer. If you're a believer, you are connected to this exact blessing of Abraham through Christ. We read that, Abby? Remember? If you don't remember, go and buy the messages. So this is the whole thing about developing that consciousness. And you can't do that except you hear what this blessing is about. You must hear. You must read. So who is blessed? Everybody that is born again is blessed because through Christ, we are connected to the same blessing of Abraham. That blessing that made a woman that was 90 years old, 70 or whatever, give birth, Sarah. That blessing that made people prosper in famine. That blessing that made people that had a bad boss, Laban, still prosper in that place. That blessing that made God bless Potiphar because of Joseph's sake. That blessing that promotes, that same blessing said, I will make your name great. Are you getting what I'm saying, guys? You are connected to that exact same blessing. Whether you are male or female. As a lady, your dream shouldn't be, I must marry a rich man. Sweetheart, you be the rich woman. Hey, somebody get what I'm saying? Because I'm guessing, that's the highest dream of some women. This hair
and these nails, I want to attract a rich man.
Nah. You can be the rich woman. Hallelujah. There's nothing as sweet as when husband and wife are rolling, are balling, without budgets. Hallelujah. I mean, you can be saying, no, we'll finish the discussion in London. I can see you are not in bad mood. I've just called our agent now. We're going to finish the discussion in London. Hallelujah. Where the weather is cool. The heat in Nigeria is affecting you. And let's talk in London. Are you here, somebody? Yes, it's not every year we wait. Look, nothing as sweet as when your husband surprises you with your dream car as a birthday gift. You too surprise him with his dream car. Hallelujah. I must marry a rich. Come on, baby. You have the blessing upon your life. You too can prosper. There's nothing stopping you. Amen. Go and read Proverbs 31. The woman was a high roller. High roller. He wasn't waiting for her husband. Those days have passed. Are you here, somebody? You have so much going on in your own life. The same blessing. So, who is blessed? Anybody connected to that is born again through Christ is connected to the exact same blessing. We read all these things. You see it in Galatians and all that. All right, we read it, okay? Number two that we dealt with, how does God bless? God blesses when we become conscious of this blessing we carry and we put our hands to work. He said, whatever, you see, in Psalm 1, he said, whoever removes, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He intoxicates himself with the word. He said, whatever he does shall what? Prosper. They said, he will look like a tree that is planted by what? The rivers of water. He's not by rivers of water. He just looks like that. He looks that fresh. He's in the desert like every other tree. But he looks like he is planted by the rivers of water because he is loaded with the word. Hallelujah. They said his leaves will never wither. So when other people are going through high and low seasons, say, oh, this season is low season, this season, for the child of God, every season is a great season with God. Are you here, somebody? There's no low season for you. He said his leaves never wither. And he said, whatever he doeth shall prosper. So you must find something doing. It doesn't make sense for a believer not to have something they are doing. Anything. Find anything. What do you like? What are you interested in? What do your friends need? Find something. There must be an interest. There must be something. Nobody gave you a job. Learn a trade. Learn a skill. Don't sit down. Whether you're male or female, don't sit down. Be waiting for government. Which government? They have no agreement or covenant with you. It's God that has a covenant with you and God is waiting for you to use the blessing on your life to touch something so that he can bless it. Are you here, somebody? All right. So, do something with the blessing that you have. If you like to cook, you like to make clothes, you like to, whatever gift you have, find it, do something. Don't wait. Trust the blessing to supply the creativity. That will happen to Joseph. Joseph, yes, it happened to Joseph. It also happened to Jacob. The blessing supplied the creativity they used to prosper. So when we are saying you are blessed, it doesn't just mean you will lie down in your house and money will be falling. No. So what the blessing does, when you put your hand to do something, the blessing begins to supply the creativity, also begins to anoint your own to be special, to be different. Sometimes we wonder, what special thing am I doing? Why are people coming? It's the blessing. Are you here, somebody? The blessing announces, it advertises. All right. Let me try and move. So today, we are dealing with why does God bless. Okay, we've handled who does God bless. We've handled how God blesses. It must be by work. There's no cheap prosperity. There's no free money. Somebody gets what I'm saying? I said, there is what? Yeah, because even as a pastor, you know that people that think I earn free money. Wow. Come and join. Come and join me. It's free money, oh. Jehovah Jireh. We'll give you knock. Free money? From how? From where? Because this is the mindset people have that there's something, there's no free money anywhere. Not anywhere. Hallelujah. Since I knew myself, nobody has dashed me money before. Nobody. People have sown money. They've never dashed me. They've sown money because of the grace I carry. If these people never knew me from anywhere and just meet me on the street, they've not given money. You see this foolishness many people have. They think, oh, pastor, open, just, how much is signboard? Put signboard in your start. The hunger, even your great-grandchildren, they will just be hungry. They don't know why. They won't know if they inherited the hunger that was chasing you. What are you talking about? Nobody has dashed money. Anybody giving money, they have seen a grace of God and they want to plug into something. That's why they're doing it. No, don't. I won't deceive myself to think if I was a nobody, just strolling on the road, someone just stopped me and say, hey, stop, take money. No. Say it's free money. From how? Somebody get what I'm saying? People bless you because they know you carry something. So that's my work. I put something on my page. Somebody bought me sneakers, white sneakers like this. You know, so he's a big comedian in Nigeria, the big guys in Nigeria. He bought me white sneakers. Very fine. And I was very happy. I liked it. I put it up. When I put it up, somebody now put the price of the shoe. And I called somebody to verify. When I heard the price, I was angry. Say, you'd have given me that money. It's about $600 or something like that. For shoe. I said, give me the money. Give me the money. Now, so a clown can see me wearing that kind of shoes now and think I just collected tithe from here straight. I went to buy it. These are the fools we have in Nigeria now. No, when we bless people, when people are blessed by our ministry, God touches their heart to bless us back. That's how it works. So God has to anoint what I'm doing for it to bless us. If nobody's blessed, our hunger will kill me like anybody else. Money always responds to value. Anybody you see that have money, except a person that is a proper thief, if he's not a thief, if he has money, he's adding value somewhere. Let me not go into the matters I wanted to say. I won't say it. I'm tempted to say it, but I won't say it. I should say it. People are looking for trouble. No. See, because Ron's girls are adding value to somebody. You will force me to say it. Now, of course, it's a sin and a very terrible way to live your life. But trust me, somebody values that service she's giving. Even though she's destroying her life, she does not know that. But somebody will gladly pay. Somebody will gladly pay. What I'm trying to tell you that there's no free money. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If Amroba, you must do work. Have you seen Amroba? You don't case, you don't survey the place. You just enter there. You don't know that the guy has a bigger gun than you. You're already doing everything business people are doing. Taking risk. Research. Raw materials. You go and buy gun and ammunition. Now, it's a terrible way to live, but it still works. What I'm trying to say is that, look, if you are here and you are thinking about free money, it ever occurs to you that somebody, there's no free money. Nothing like that. You see them call Anthony Joshua or call a sportsman to brand him, to advertise the brand. He's not free. He's selling his brand. There's, what I'm trying to tell you, look, there is nothing like free money. Forget that thing. If it's ever occurring to you that one day, you know, people, when you see people sitting down, say, if I just pick 10 million. You know, this is how people think. Say, if I just pick 10 million, what you go is and do, say, I go first take 1 million, buy suya. I go first buy 1 million naira. This discussion poor people like to have. This is what they discuss. Free money. Tell your neighbor there's no free money. No free money. Hmm. Pastors are eating free money. Come and join us. What are you waiting for? Don't you like free money? Come. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Where was I? So, God blesses you by you doing something, and God favors it. God blesses it. So, me too, as a pastor, I believe God to bless what I do. All right? In fact, let me even give you some secrets. It's interesting. Sometimes, you know, when God gives me a message like that, I know that God wants to bless me because that message will be for somebody to change somebody's life. That person will, in return, bless the source or the channel, rather, that the message came through. Do you understand? So that's how God blesses me. He anoints me. He gives me a word for someone. I come and deliver the word, and I get blessed. If I don't have any word from God and nobody's blessed, me and the people will die of hunger. Somebody got what I'm saying? That's how it happens. That's how it happens. This, I'm at work now. Sunday is worship time for you. It's work day for me. I'm at work. I'm at work. Somebody get what I'm saying? So there's no free money. If you think what I'm not doing is of no value, wait till you run into trouble sooner or later. That thinking will get you in trouble. A lot of the things we even do are not seen. When I'm praying for you in the secret, it's not seen. So nobody sees that as value, but it's value. When you have serious marital crisis and I sit down with 3 hours counseling one person, nobody's there to see it. So they think it's free money. What? If there was free money, I'll be the happiest person on this earth. Free money? I like free money, but there's nothing like that. So, who God blesses, how God blesses. Today we're looking at why God blesses. Why God blesses. Very simple, guys. God blesses so that we can be a blessing. Did you understand this? This is why God blesses. He told Abraham, if you can get the original place, he blessed Abraham. Genesis 12. If you can get it for me. He said, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You know, I'll curse those that curse you. I'll bless those that bless you. He said, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you see that, guys? He said, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse him that cursed you. He said, indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you are blessed to be a blessing. That's why God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. The Bible said it is more blessed to give than to what to receive. You actually get more blessing activated in your life when you give than when you receive. Receiving is not your natural habitat. It's not your place you should be. He said you will lend unto many and you will never borrow. So you will be above only and not beneath. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Somebody get what I'm saying? So, as a believer, as a blessed person, please always be on standby for when God wants you to bless somebody. You must be on standby. You must understand that it's not everything God brings to your hand that you are meant to eat. He said he gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So, for everything God brings to your hand, there's some that is for you to eat. He has no problem with that. But there are some that is not for you, even though it's coming through you. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. Because the average hungry person believes that everything that I get is for me. That's why you're overweight. You are eating you both your own and the other people's own because it came through you. You are just a steward, sir. It's not everything you must eat. Are you here, somebody? It's not everything you must eat. God needs to be able to call on the resources with you to achieve a bigger thing, bigger than you. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. I'll say that again. God needs to be able to call on resources in your hand to achieve something bigger than you. You are not division. I say you are not what? Division. There is always, God always has a bigger plan. He just needs you to play a role. Tell your neighbor, say, play a role. Touch him or hard. I'm here. Don't beat you. Touch him. Say, play a role. That's what God wants to do. He's saying, look, there's a bigger agenda. If you're not careful, you'll be too obsessed with your own life and think your life is the agenda. No, there's a bigger plan. You are only playing a role. So God needs to be able to call on you and say, come and contribute something. That thing I gave you, I want to use it. to do something bigger. See when Jesus was about to go and die, they needed to perfume him, anoint him with that alabaster box. It belonged to a woman. She wasn't even rich. It belonged to her. She was keeping that. That thing cost a year's salary. I don't know how much a year's salary for you. You can use your own year's salary, please. What's your own yearly salary? Some of you, your yearly salary, I don't know how much your yearly salary is. Some of you, your yearly salary is 20 million, 30 million, depending on who you are, 200, even 1 million. Whatever is a year's salary for you is still big. Abi, it's big. Whatever is 1 year's salary for you, or 1 year income for a business person, is big. That's what that perfume cost to that woman. It was 1 year income. And God said, we need it. And she carried it. And the way that perfume is, you don't open it, you break it. Means it's gone. She broke it. 1 year salary. And anointed Jesus. It pained Judas so much. Whenever you see somebody upset that men of God are blessed, that's a Judas cousin. Because that's where Judas' problem started, though. When he saw that expensive, he said, why didn't they sell it and give to the poor? Do you hear that on the internet a lot today? Judas has children. Judas has cousins and relatives.
Why didn't they sell the Rolls Royce and give it to the poor?
Jesus Christ said Judas was not saying that because he liked the poor. He said Jesus was saying that because if they sell that thing and bring the money, he knows that he will get caught because he's the chief accountant. See, he will get caught. He's a thief. It's not poor that is disturbing him. He said, you will always have the poor with you. Continue blessing them from time to time. That doesn't stop this agenda that God wants to do. He said, bring it, this expensive perfume. There is a grand plan that this perfume can use. He said, anoint Jesus, because he was going to the cross that period. We needed him to be smelling a certain way. Somebody get what I'm saying? And throughout, God called on people like that. It was somebody that owned that donkey that Jesus rode to Jerusalem. The guy tied it down. Probably had plans for it. And Jesus told them, go and tell him to bring the donkey that the master has need of it. Woo! There's something in your hand. You might have plans for it, but the master has what? Need of it. Listen, you can ride your own donkey, but after you ride it, it will be useless forever. Nobody will know you. That donkey was of better use when the master rode it. If the master didn't use it, it would have been like every other donkey. In fact, we will not be discussing that donkey today. There are many people that had donkeys in that town. We don't know them and we don't care. There are many people that had perfume in their house. But Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, He said, wherever the gospel is preached, this woman and this alabaster box must be what? Thousands of years after, in remote Nigeria, the thing happened in Israel. In remote Nigeria, we are discussing that woman today. That's exactly what Jesus said. That this giving will outlive you. Oh, man. The giving for a higher purpose will outlive you. The one you consume, it will not outlive you. It will end in toilet. That's where it's going to end. Are you here, somebody? Do you know the Last Supper was somebody that prepared food for his family? Some of you don't know that. The Last Supper, somebody prepared food, dining table. Jesus went there with his 12 people. Told the guy, go and do something else. They occupied the place. Go and read it. Thank God the guy knew, had enough sense to know that there's a higher purpose than me. If it was the guy that ate it, it wouldn't be called Last Supper. It would just be another meal. If it's the guy that ate his food, it will be normal food. But when Jesus ate that food, it became Holy Communion. Hey, there's something you have, it's ordinary. By the time you bring it to God, it becomes special. They were having a major crusade. 5,000 men, I don't know how many women and children. And they had been there for 3 days, no food. And Jesus said, let's feed this multitude. And Philip and Co. said, where are we going to see food and money to feed these people? Jesus said, check what you have around you. He said, they have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it belongs to one small boy. If that boy had eaten it, it would be like any other 5 loaves and any other 2 fish. But when they gave it to the master, it became something special. It multiplied and fed thousands of people. It became the most important 5 loaves and 2 fish that has ever been shared. Somebody gets what I'm saying? I'm saying in your hand is nothing. When you bring it to God's hand, it becomes blessed. It becomes special. You don't want to miss that opportunity. At the time it's in your hand, it looks too important. When you consume it, it's useless. That 5 loaves and 2 fish, nobody has eaten for 3 days. It's the most precious food on that ground. It looked like if I lose this thing, I would die. If you eat it too, you will still die. It's toilet you are going straight from here. It will be useless. When you plant it, it might look like a sacrifice. But for years after, you will keep reaping it. And this is what many don't know and never have the heart to do. Why does God bless? He blesses so that you can be what? A blessing. Don't ever mistake that everything that enters your hand is for you. Even some clothes you receive, they are not for you. Even some clothes you buy, they are not for you. You have bought them, but along the line, something keeps telling you, you will never wear it. It's not your own. Always stand at attention and keep looking. There's somebody that it will be an answered prayer to them. Look, God is running a large organization. He has billions of people he has to cater for. He needs volunteers. And the way God is, you can never volunteer and he won't bless you back. He's not a user. I say he's not a user. United Nations, is like an NGO. They are supposed to be helping the world. But if you work for them, you'll be happy. My brother worked in United Nations. They fly you business class, standard. Then if you're supposed to America, you and your family and all dependent. Remember when he got the job, UN job? He said he can bring dependents. I told him, I'm depending on you. I'm your dependent now. Just let's all go. All dependents, everybody follow him. Now, they pay him and they pay his wife because his wife must not work. So they pay him, they still pay his wife for the inconvenience of taking you to New York from Nigeria. I say, inconvenience me. Inconvenience my soul. Let's go. Many Nigerians will be glad for that kind of inconvenience. Am I correct? You're carrying me to New York and be paying me for the inconvenience. I say, inconvenience me. Who am I? If United Nations can bless people doing charity work, you think God, we owe you? Whenever you volunteer your resources or your time or your energy, then you don't know him. You don't know him. He will settle you. And you see the beauty of God's own, I'll show you now. Hey, the beauty of God's own, like I told you during the week, when he blesses you, he enters an agreement with you and your generations. You and can't do that. Since my brother left you and now, they don't remember even me, him. They don't even pay him. They don't pay me. But God never uses and dumps. He said, I will bless you. Since you can't live long, the blessing will continue to those after you. Because me, I'm here eternally. I will show you now. I will show you now. So don't miss that opportunity. God always calls on the resources in your hand. That's why he blessed you in the first place. There's some that you will eat, but there's some he will need of you. Say, give me that money back. I want to do something bigger than you. And I will always say to you, you'll be blessed. Don't worry. I can't take your money and owe you. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let me give you 2 examples. Because some people don't realize that we are in a war. We are in a what? A war. Please, I want to beg you. Don't be that ignorant to think that this world is just a natural world floating by. No. It's a war of 2 kingdoms. It has always been a war of 2 kingdoms. I wish no time. I have to manage my time. It's a war of 2 kingdoms. You know that originally there was 1 kingdom. God was the king. Then he had people working for him. He had archangels. There were 3 major archangels. Archangels are like the top angels. So there was Angel Michael, which is a defense minister, minister of defense. He's on his war. He has no time for story. Fight. That's his calling. Minister of what? Defense. In any team, they have people like that like fight. You know those people? If something's going wrong, they're the ones that will fight for everybody. The rest of us don't even have to talk. Only him has enough fight inside him to scatter this place now. Just the look. See what Mike can do now. They look at these people. They never know what they do. See Mike. They watch Mike now. They go soon vex Mike. Mike done the verse. They look. He's saying they answer them. Mike done the verse. The rest of us don't have to fight. He will cause trouble here now. And they will change the policy. How many of you have friends like that? Because the rest of us, if there was no vacancy, no space, we could just go like that. But this Michael I see here, he goes, scatter this place now. So that's Angel Michael. Defense Minister. Then they have Angel Gabriel under Archangel. That one is the special UPS DHL of heaven. If you see Angel Gabriel, just know that there's good news. Direct from what? The throne. It's not that they send somebody and they send somebody and they send him. No. If Angel Gabriel comes to you, he's bringing the news fresh, like from bakery. Oven fresh. You know when bread just come out? Today bread. Nobody say, nah, they don't. This is the original person that baked it. He was there. So if you notice, when he brought message to Mary, and Mary was doubting the message, how can, he said, I am Gabriel. Because of you don't understand what he was saying. He was saying, Now Gabe, they talk. As in, you can't be doubting Gabe. It's direct. This nobody said, nobody said, then gist me this story. Now me, bring him fresh. I'm Gabe. There can't be a higher source of gist than me. So I'm Gabriel. Ah, you see the doubt, I'm Gabriel. So he brings direct news. Then there was Lucifer. That was the guy in charge of worship. But Lucifer was now eyeing the position of the Most High, and they cast him out, and one third of the angels went with him. Rebellious people. That's why I'm always skeptical about rebellious people and the people that follow rebellious people. Be careful of anybody that is rebellious. Give them space. Don't join them. Because destruction is waiting for them. So when they cast Lucifer down, he became Satan. And from then on, the fight started. He was always now against God since that time. So from then, the war started. So by the time God made man, immediately Satan came to attack man. Do you understand? The war has started. Because by the time God made man, Satan came, boom, we have to destroy everything God is doing. So since that time, it has been Satan trying to destroy man. He can't destroy God. He can only destroy people that God likes. Or he tried to. Then God always tries to restore whatever man loses. So that's the battle. So you need to know who you are working with. So that battle has been on from that time till today. So even when Jesus came, Satan came and killed what? Jesus. Not knowing that killing Jesus was the plan. God used his enemy to fulfill his plan. That's cheap labor. Cheap labor, because you don't have to pay him. Hallelujah. Some people gossiping, you are just spreading your advertisement. Hallelujah. I was so happy when I was trending one time when some people were fighting me on social media. It gave me publicity. You know how much I would have paid to be on all those blogs? Now I was there for free. My followership and everything grew. I was so happy. That's cheap labor. God is wise. He doesn't have to always pay people. He will just use your enemy to do the work. Hallelujah. So, fight of two kingdoms. So at every point in time, you need to realize that you are supporting one kingdom. Let's read something. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18, I'll read verse 19. 1 Kings 18. Now, if you know the gist of 1 Kings 18, it was when there was a famine in the land. Jezebel, the king Ahab had married a woman called Jezebel. That woman Jezebel worshipped idols. I don't have time to go into all this, but that's why those of you that are born again Christians, you have children, please be praying for your children. You can't be raising your children in the way of the Lord, and they'll go and marry someone that in the family that where they are fetish and they worship idols, they worship shrine. Those things can affect them. And as a counselor, I've seen those things many times. Somebody grew up in a proper Christian home, knows the Lord, attended Sunday school. I've been hearing about God, God. I'm going to marry somebody where in the house is shrine they worship. So that's what was happening. Ahab went to marry a woman called Jezebel. Jezebel is an idol worshiper. When Jezebel got on the scene, became the president's wife or the king's wife, he began to kill all the prophets of God and began to finance the prophets of Baal. Began to finance idol worship. Because it's a battle of two kingdoms. See, every company you see out there, secular company, they are financing something. Whether consciously or unconsciously, they are financing. Check what they sponsor. That is why it pains me when I see people that even call themselves Christians argue about things like tithing and giving. They don't understand. They don't understand that it's a battle of kingdoms. It's beyond this, your anger. There's a battle of kingdoms. Because if you notice, the kingdoms of this world, they don't fight themselves for the prosperity of their servants. You will never see anybody battle a sinner that has big things. They support it. And if that woman is a prostitute and she's rich, she will encourage other young ladies to go into prostitution. Some people don't know that. It's a battle of the mind. So, see what happened. 1 Kings 18, 19 now. It says, "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel." This was Elijah talking. "Unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal." How many? 450. "And the prophets of the groves." How many? 400. Which what? Jezebel alone was sponsoring 950 false prophets. Jezebel alone. Sponsoring them means their ministry will grow. I don't know if at the beginning they were 450. I'm sure it was due to her sponsorship. They kept growing and expanding all over the town. 950 sponsored by one woman. Let me show you. Same chapter. 1 Kings 18 now. Go to verse 2. From verse 2 to 4, we're going to read. "And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a" what? That means serious famine. Like most people say there is in Nigeria. Serious one. Next verse. He said, "And Ahab called" who? "Obadiah," which was what? Was a governor of Israel. Was a high, was like chief of staff of Ahab. But they said what? Now Obadiah what? Was a child of God. He was a child of God. See the next verse. "For it was so when Jezebel did" what? "Cut off the prophets of the Lord." Jezebel was not playing. She cut off prophets of God, financed prophets of Baal. So they said, when Jezebel did that, Obadiah took what? 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and what? Fed them with bread and water. So in that kingdom, somebody was financing brothels. Somebody was financing prostitution. Somebody was financing alcoholism. Somebody was financing Indian hemp. Somebody was financing Yahoo. Somebody was financing the devil. But there were also people in that town financing the kingdom of God. So who are you financing? You are financing one, whether you like it or not. You are supporting. I don't know who you are supporting, but you are supporting one. Obadiah gathered them 50 by 50. And he was personally sponsoring 100 ministries alone. That should be everybody's dream here. That as long as you are alive, the work of God must never lack funds. That's the quickest way to get God to bless what you are doing. So as long as you are here, no matter how tough things are, the kingdom of God should not lack finances. And it's not by size. God knows your size. Whatever size you are, you will start at that size. It starts from basic. Basic level is your tithe. If you are still battling tithe, you are paying tithe. Just like you're not paying it in church, you are paying. There's nobody now. Is anybody eating cash here? You are here and you just wake up, bring out your wallet, bring out 1,000 notes and just pour some oil in it and eat it. Is anybody here like that? No, but I like to know you are spending your money. Go and track where you are spending it. That's where you are tithing. You are supporting whatever those people are doing. So you need to ask yourself, does it have eternal value? That's what you need to ask yourself. If you are here and you have a cable TV subscription, whether it's DSTV or GoTV or ComTV, anyone, you are supporting their ministry. You are a regular giver on a monthly basis. Without fail, steady, sir. You support what they are doing. You are a tighter. The only difference is that when you are in real trouble, you can't call them. I plan to get somebody to do that prank call one day and call DSTV or call one of these places people send their money to regularly and say, "I'm having marital crisis, please, I need your help. I'm your subscriber, help me." You will hear what they will say. They are not interested in your life. If you are dying or you are sick, it's none of their business. Call Instagram and say, hi, I am constant viewer. My child is sick. Is there any way you can help? You hear them say, post it online. That's the best we can do for you. They don't care about your eternal destiny. Don't care about your soul. But yet you are faithful in your giving. You have never complained once. The jokers are the ones that even go and drink and smoke. You are supporting those alcohol companies. You need to see what they sponsor. What they are all supporters. Hey, they all support. You think the gay movement is a joke? You think those guys are playing? They have supporters. You think Boko Haram is a joke? You think you will tell adults to leave what they are doing and come and stay in the bush for free? Heavily sponsored. Don't they buy gun? Don't you know the kind of ammunition they use? Don't they eat? Don't they have family? They are being bankrolled. This is a battle of kingdoms. So how can you be a born-again Christian? You don't even know that basic. You're just walking, roaming around. God bless me. God bless. You think that what we are doing here? God bless. And what will happen? I can eat beans. And what again? So that me and my family will go on vacation. Then what? I don't know. We'll just be playing. No! There's a bigger kingdom. It's a battle. You can't be that clueless, guys. Somebody getting this? So if you're here and you're not a tither, you're supporting somebody else regularly. Go and check. So basic is tithing, but tithing is just for kindergarten. It's where you start from. That's not where you end. As you grow, you give way and above the tithe. Tithe is 10% of whatever you earn. That one, you don't even think about it. You know that this is what the kingdom is using to run. It's a battle of kingdoms. Battle of kingdoms. And no other kingdom begs. The only place you see begging is in the kingdom of God. Because all our, we're the only one that have regular people that don't support. I've worshipped at Etihad Worship Center. I've worshipped at, what's Asna's church building? I've worshipped at the Emirate Worship Center. I've worshipped at White Hart Lane. I've worshipped at many of the great worship centers. Oh, you don't know his worship? Worship means devotion. That's what worship means. When you see those guys, they travel from far. They sleep on the road because they can't rent a hotel. They sleep by the stadium. I see them. They sleep on the train station because they are going to watch the match in the morning and take off back. They can't go and rent a hotel. Regular. And they come into the service and you see them waving their hands as the players are entering. Oh, you behind the worship. Then when the players call, go, give a shout to the Lord. That's his worship. And they all give their offering before they enter. I'm yet, in all the days I've been going to stadiums, I'm yet to see one person complain that this money is too much. How much? Why? What is the owner of the club using our money to do? Where is this money going? I've never seen anybody do that. They give their offering gladly. And after the match, sometimes you're even depressed because you lost. Can never forget when I went to watch Liverpool and Man City. Played in Anfield Worship Center. I stood throughout the match. It was raining. We stood. Those Liverpool fans are mad people. They don't sit down. They stand throughout 90 minutes. We stood inside rain. And my club still lost. I was angry. So you can even leave them all depressed. Now, can I call them and say, hello, is this Anfield? I have a transport problem. Can you help me? Can I call them? Or me and my wife have quarrel. Do you have a counselor to help us? Can I call Anfield to Liverpool Football Club? They are not interested in anything outside of that match. You have given them money. But yet, people, you will go there and give money gladly and you will come to church and complain from beginning to the end. It's Satan attacking people's minds. So if you are here and you don't pay tithe, you are a big problem to the body because you are consuming the resources of the body. And you are not contributing. And you see the beauty of our own. Where our own is different from the ticket fee you pay to watch a match or your DSTV subscription. Where our own is different is that DSTV subscription, after they connect you for that 1 month, they don't owe you anything again. Even if you don't watch it, it's your business. If you watch something there that makes you your life worse, it's your business. They don't owe you any service after that. But the difference is that in the kingdom, when you tithe, it provokes God's favor over you. So beyond that money, God blesses you financially and even in other areas that is not linked to finance. So how wicked, how crazy can you even be to be faithful to DSTV and not be faithful to God? DSTV should not be angry. I have DSTVs too. I support them, so they should not be angry. I'm just making a point. Do you get what I'm saying? So how can you be faithful to MTN data? Some of you, all your problems started from that data. And the things you got connected to, pornography, you are bad. It's not data helping you to get it. But you are faithful to the data. Even Glow network that is slow, some of you support. Glow, don't be angry. I'm just kidding. Yet, heaven, God that connects you to your destiny, you drag your body to pay the tithe. Your tithe is not just 10%. It's supposed to be the first 10%. You should even, it's your honor to God. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. It's not, I'm not the one that wrote the Bible. All of us met it here. I get what I'm saying, sir. No time to talk about this more. But throughout scripture, you will see that whenever the tithe is brought, the blessing comes. But beyond the tithe, like I said, the tithe is for beginners. The thing that provokes a higher level of covenant is when you give sacrificially. I don't have time. I'll just mention the stories because of time. Abraham that we talk about, things took a new turn when God asked him to bring his son, Isaac, his only son, whom he loved. A son he waited for 15 or so years. First son, when he was 100 years old, this child of promise, God told him, bring it. And the Bible said, early the next morning, Abraham arose. Early the next morning. There was no record that he even told Sarah. Because if I know Sarah well, and I know a woman that has waited for 90 years to have a child, you now say, God said, we should bring Isaac. Hope you know he won't go early in the morning at least. There's no way Sarah will let him go and kill Isaac. So he rose early in the morning without telling Sarah. Took Isaac. Isaac was saying, Dad, say yes, son. Dad, this is the firewood. This is the knife. Where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, there, you don't die. You are a dead man walking. He didn't ask for sacrifice. You win the sacrifice. We are going to kill you. He didn't know what was going on. He was just playing with his father. When he got there and he saw the way the father held him, he said, Dad, what's going on? He said, shh. When they tie his leg and hand, he knew things were happening. And lay him on that thing. He saw his father sharpen the knife. They put grass in his mouth. Don't make noise here. I don't want people to come here. Tie his mouth. This boy is a stubborn boy. As he was his son. His only son. The moment he did that, God said, stop. God said, now I know. You're not kidding with me. God said, from now, my covenant with you is at a whole different level. He said, you and the children and your children's children will be blessed. God began to swear. Hallelujah. God began to swear that now I know that you are not joking. Same thing happened to David. Let me read. We read this one, how God kept appearing to Isaac. We read that throughout the meeting, Abby. How God appeared to Isaac and said, because of Abraham, your father. Appeared to Jacob, said, because of Abraham, your father. All that. I mean, we read that one. So I don't want to go into that. Let me read you one that we've not read. 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7, from verse 1 to 3. He said, it came to pass when the king sat in his house. So one day, David was just sitting in his house. He said, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. Next verse. He said that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar. He said, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. There was nothing wrong. He was just enjoying his life. But he just said, look, I'm living in my own completed house, yet the building project of God is not done. Yet the property we want to buy for church is not done. Nobody came to preach him. He was just sitting and said, hey, why am I relaxing like this when God's house is not done? Quickly, DJ. He said, and the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. He said, and Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with you. So David just said, we can't just leave God's house unbuilt when we are living our own complete, we're living our own good houses. And the moment he did that, God appeared to Nathan and told him, go and tell David. I don't know if we don't have that. It's a long reading. And God appeared to Nathan and said, go and tell David. Say, look, I've never lived in a house before. You know, I've always been living in tents. But since you want to build me a house, I'm just summarizing for you. You can read on your own later. He said, I've never dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in tents and in tabernacle. So God said, David, you have touched me so much, you know, for you to even be thinking. Not that God told him, not that anybody told him, it was out of his love for God. He said, I have to do something for God. He touched God. He touched God's kidney, like comedians would say. He touched him. I want to read, go to verse 12. I'm just trying to be fast. Go to verse 12. And he said, so God began to make covenant with David. This is where God entered the covenant with David. God began to make promise and a covenant with David. He said, and when thy days be fulfilled. Now, David didn't build this temple. God told him, don't worry, don't build it. But because you thought of it, my covenant has started with you now. He says, when your days are fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with your fathers, I will set up thy seed after you, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. So he's saying, I'll bless you. After, I'll do many things for you, but when your own days are finished, I'll continue with whoever your seed is. Next verse. It says, DJ, and when, give me verse 13 now. He said, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Next verse. He said, I will be his father, and he shall be what? My son. He said, if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of children of men. Next verse. He says, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Now, listen. David was not the first king. There was a king called Saul. But when Saul messed up, they removed the royalty, the kingship from his whole lineage. Now, David has now touched God by sacrificial giving. God said, look, in your own time, if anybody in your league, I'll put your son there. And if he messes up, I won't remove him. Hey. I don't know if it's making sense. I need volunteers. Two people come. Two of you come. Because some of you don't are getting it. I need one more person to join. Come. Quickly, guys. Stand here. You'll be David. I like what you're wearing. I don't like what you're wearing. I'm joking. This is Saul. Stand behind Saul. No, you stand behind David. Sorry. This is Saul, first king of Israel. He messed up. They drove him away. He said, bye-bye. So whoever his children and children were, we don't care. All of you gone. David became the next king. The same principle we're supposed to apply. Abi, if he messes up, they close down. No, he touched God in the time of his kingship. Not that he didn't make mistakes. He made mistakes too. But because of his sacrificial giving, because of the love you have for God, God said, look, from now, we have changed the rules. We have changed the rules. He said, when your own time finish, I will pass it to your son. And if your son mess up, I will correct him but not remove him. Meaning from everlasting to everlasting, David will remain there. Something that shall be passing from house to house, they say it will remain only in your house forever. And it was provoked by sacrifice. So from now, it's David's lineage that must be there. Doesn't matter who's angry. If they mess up, I will correct them. But I will not remove them. It's supposed to be remover. But he said, because of the covenant I have with you, I will just correct them. They will continue. Somebody getting it? Dave, go and sit down. It didn't stop there. If you read down, Solomon was the one that built the temple. Solomon now messed up the way God taught. Solomon messed up. Solomon went to carry 1,000 women. Of course, as carrying 1,000 women, this began to derail his heart. People always ask me, well, they say sexual sin is bad. There are many people prospering with sexual sin. You're joking. I don't have time to go into that today. So Solomon looked like he was prospering, but judgment came because of the sexual sin. And see what God said. Quickly, DJ, go to 1 Kings 11 from verse 9. 1 Kings 11:9. Quickly, DJ. It's a long reading. Let me just give you the story. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was torn from the God of Israel, which appeared unto him twice. Next verse. He said, and he had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. Because those women took his heart to other gods. Because others may have to bring their own idols. He said, but he kept not that which was commanded. Next verse. He says, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as you have done this thing and has not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Next verse. He says, notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake. He said, I will not scatter the kingdom now because of David. David had died. I've told you, God keeps covenant from generation to generation. So for you, this is your eating tight spirit. Is what you're already setting up your kids. It's not for you to be doing things that will bring favor on them, but you're a tight eater professional. Look at it. He said, notwithstanding thy days, I will do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend out thy hand. I will rend it out of the hand of your son. Next verse. He said, how be it, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but we give one tribe to thy son. For who? For David, my servant's sake. He said, I will scatter everything. I will see need to keep that my covenant. So I will keep one with David. Because of David, I will keep one there. Somebody get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to do something. If you have never given towards that building project we're doing, look. It's not my personal house, and none of it is in my name. I'm also a giver like everybody else. But it's just an opportunity. Like I said, God will always call on the resources. You might have had plans for the money. I don't care. I don't know. It's you and God. Look, God can't take from you, and you'll be worse off. Never happens. I want to challenge you. If you have never given towards the building project, make a pledge today. Second thing we are going to do, I want everybody to sow a special seed today. Don't give your regular offering today. Today, connect with what we have taught. And say, Lord, I'm connecting with you as a lover and a giver. I'm connecting with this seed to become conscious of the blessing and covenant that you have with me through Abraham. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So there are two things we're going to do today. If you have never given towards the building project, in fact, if you have given towards the building project, you can give again. It's a continuous thing till we get it done. Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? Till we get it done. There's no permanent giving. My first giving towards that project was 10 million. I'm preparing my second one. Because we're not done. We're not done until we're done. The giving doesn't end. Are you here, somebody? And interestingly, the owners of the place, you know, we've made a deposit of 400 million. The owners of the place contacted us and said, if we can bring in the second installment this month, that we'll get possession of the place, you know, ahead of time. So we need to do that. Getting possession means we can start preliminary works. We can start preparing to move there. If we don't get possession now, it means we'll wait till maybe the end of the year to get possession, which means it will be later next year. So this is, it will extend the whole thing. So if we can get possession early, it helps us to prepare to move to the place. We really want to do crossover service there. We really want to do gaining momentum there. We want to remove there as fast as we can. We need time. So if you have given before and you want to, and you can give again, this is a good month, a good week, a good day to give again. If you have not given before, then please let God touch your heart. This is the time when you need to make that sacrifice. It will go a long way. These opportunities don't come forever. Trust me. One day, even if you give 100 billion, it won't matter. Imagine somebody breaks his alabaster box today. It has passed. We will appreciate it, but the day they needed it was that day. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Because somebody said, I will give next year. It's good, we'll collect it then, but it's not the same as now that we need to get this possession. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. Even if you don't have the full of your pledge, if it's part of it you have, bring it this week so that we can get possession of that place. It will go a long way in helping us get possession. We can start, we can even have some meetings there. We've never even taken the whole church there. We would like to take you there so everybody can see the place. So we need to get possession. So let's do that today. So two things, building project seed, going on there. Secondly, I want us to sow a special seed for today's service. I want to pray over that one. It's your seed to connect. Don't give your normal offering. If you don't have it here, you know, make it a promise in your mind. Send it by internet or bring it on Wednesday. But if you can do online, it's better. So I just want to pray over you because this blessing connects between you and your generations after you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for every giver here today. Both those giving towards the building project and those sowing a covenant seed of sacrifice today. You said in your word that we should gather to your saints together, especially those that have entered the covenant by sacrifice. Lord, I ask for these ones, show up like never before. Not just for them, but even for generations after them. Let their children and children's children enjoy your grace. Let their children and children's children enjoy your blessing. Let there be unusual favor in the work of our hands. Lord, fight for us in places we can't fight for ourselves. Lord, I ask that the work of their hands be blessed. Let there be an aggressive fighting on their behalf. Let favor rush in their direction. Areas they have given up, Father, show up. Cases that have been closed, let it be reopened. Let unusual miracles happen for every giver today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.